who called your husband the most despicable person on earth. Don't you have a problem with that? I mean, I don't get it. I mean, it's not just she's a lady, or was it? What if somebody's wife, you know, started saying, "Well, I can't stand this guy. Your wife is the biggest bee on earth," and blah 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 blah. I mean, how does that conversation go over? For me, Frank, obviously I'm getting old and grumpy. For me, this is so far over the line. I can't even describe it.
I don't find it over the line. And because that's why I have you on here. A married couple can reach an accommodation there. And how much is somebody going to pay for their book, their joint book?
I couldn't
go on that route. What's beyond the line is that our president feels perfectly comfortable talking about somebody's marriage and on the biggest platform on earth.
That is
that's
bizarre.
That's wrong.
Well, I'll tell you what.
He has no right to talk about their marriage.
I have news for you, though, Frank. I didn't realize what a South Sider I had become. I thought I had sort of left it when I went to Notre Dame or Chicago, but obviously I did not. I could not put up with that. I can't. That to me is so far askew that we're going to be on the national airways with your boss calling me basically a bleep hole and blah, blah, blah. But it's okay because we're going to write a book someday and make a bunch of dough. Maybe that's why I'm sitting here doing the show with you. I don't know. I could.
Oh, thanks a lot. Yeah, you could move farther up the food chain. No, but really, if the true Southsider wouldn't go after his wife, he would kick the guy's ass who said that about his mother, wife, or father.
Right.
That's Donald Trump's biggest problem is he went to a school with 17 kids and he was 6'4" and nobody kicked his ass. At Notre Dame, that attitude would have gotten your butt kicked on a weekly basis.
Well, that's probably, speaking of which.
You just don't say that. So the true Southsider, Ted Cruz, come on.
Yeah.
How can, that's even more amazing. That's guy to guy.
Speaking of which, Frank, if you had been at the game Saturday, speaking of a true Southsider, and I won't say it's a she, but she will go nameless. Sitting there, and one of the girls on Stanford sets this pick, and a Notre Dame girl runs right into it. But of course, she did the arm raise a little bit and got her like right in the snoot, right, and down she goes. And I won't say who was sitting next to me. She goes, "Well, why isn't somebody going to belt her?" I go, "Can't do that." So then she leaves. She comes back in like 5 minutes later, and she's back together. Well, she goes and whacks her back. I go, "No, no, you can't." She goes, "Well, we would." This is NCAA basketball. She goes, "Well, I wouldn't let somebody bit me in the face and I go bip her back." I go, "Well, you can't do
boy,
that."
That was a perfect pick.
Yeah, well, but the arm did go up a little bit, which is a little. Those girls are pretty rough. It's for those of you who don't watch girls basketball, the difference in shall we say physical abilities in terms of mostly jumping, I'd say, Frank. Although. The girls jump more than I ever jumped. It's not like I could ever get off the ground.
They could touch the net.
Yeah, well, so could I, but I was 6'4". But what's interesting is the guys might be in there and some guy like soars up in the air and grabs a rebound over the rim. There can be not a lot of contact. But when everybody's right in the same spot and they all go for the ball, there's people banging into each other. I mean, it's a rough game. Girls are, they're going down all the time. I mean, I think it's a really good game. I mean, it's not guys basketball with that kind but it's good basketball. And, girls are serious.
It's well coached basketball.
It's well, very well coached basketball. And,
the defenses are, it's a half a step slower, so it's easier to start grasping defenses and offensive strategies.
Right.
I enjoy it at this level.
Yeah, I think it's kind of fun to watch. And, I was happy to see Missouri State. I will say this, though. The Irish have the ugliest uniforms. And they're not flattering at all. I mean, first of all, the Irish would never handle the Texas A&M cheerleaders. They would not fly in the convo. In the, what is it, the Joyce Pavilion? Our cheerleaders are out there with the everybody's over everybody's head doing all kind of stuff, and their girls look like the Chicago Bulls cheerleaders, or they're auditioning for the Dallas. They come out in these wild, racy costumes, or doing these dance routines that are really unbelievable. Let's just say that would not fly in front of the priests.
Well, it's not the priests. It's the fellow parents.
Yeah.
There's a concern system that in the forefront now at Notre Dame. In fact, Notre Dame just had a mother write in and make a big national deal out of women wearing exercise pants to class at Notre Dame and wants them to outlaw them.
That made me laugh. I thought that was funny.
Somebody
said to me, you know, they wouldn't have let it happen to us, you know, when we went there. And, well, number one, the only women on campus were maids and nuns.
Yeah.
So.
Well, everybody I knew, you were blue jeans and a sweater. That was the outfit. You know who has to be taking it?
And low-cut Converse.
Yeah.
Cadillacs for the feet.
You know who has to be taking it basically up to behind in today's fashion world? Why would you want to be a jean manufacturer? Did any women wear jeans anymore?
I love wearing jeans.
Well, I mean, if you walk down the street, though, I'm going to say 80% of women who have the figure for it are in the exercise pants.
Well,
is that fair? Is that a fair statement? You know more about this than me, obviously.
Yeah, they don't even make good quality jeans anymore. Everything are jeggings.
Stretch jeans, and Jay-Z can tell us. In 2015, they were talking. I read that somewhere, and now women are buying the new Levi denim. Is that true?
I could see that being a trend. The problem is that, like, I mean, most of the places that, like, we would traditionally just, like, buy jeans at, stuff they just don't sell, like, quality jeans. They're all, like, jeggings and.
Jeggings? What's that?
Jeggings. They're jean leggings. This weird. Distortion of them.
Well, you can go
like stretchy jeans.
Well, you can go to Farm and Fleet and get all you want. I don't know if those are jeans you're looking for, but just saying. Well, how did Levi's just make it as a IPO? The thing's been around since 1860 or something, isn't it?
Oh, they've been public.
Frank,
they went private probably in the mid-80s.
Oh, all right, but they were public before, obviously.
Yes.
Frankie, I'm going to have to call in again. I don't know what you're doing with your phone. Yeah, then we got to
sure,
talk.
I'm going to.
Then we're going to talk some markets. As we're up 19 spoo points, and we're up individual stocks. I've got Boeing up another 3 points. I've got Triple M up 135. I don't have one stock, the Dow, down this morning. Last week, there were 2 days in a row. I don't think I've ever seen this before. One of the days was a down day. Every stock in the transportation average was up. So if you're a Dow theorist, this rally's pretty real, especially in the transportation average side. And this morning, like I said, every stock in the Dow, there's a few that aren't trading yet. I've got like Travelers and UnitedHealth are not trading yet. But this morning looks like a bullish day. It'll be interesting to see if it lasts all week. I mean, we just came off a pretty big quarter. Of course, as everybody tells you about what a spectacular quarter we had, we made back about 70 or 75% of what we lost in the last quarter. So it's a pretty serious comeback, but it's not back to old highs yet, so we'll have to see if it has legs or if it doesn't. Now, clearly, we have the Fed behind us, as, you know, we've turned the Fed back into a lapdog in some people's opinion, maybe like mine, because I don't really like the idea of more balance sheet and more whatever. And we had Larry Kudlow on Friday afternoon. I've never seen anybody in administration do this before, ever in my lifetime. Came out and demanding that the Fed cut rates by half a point, and he was on for like an hour. I've never seen a White House staff guy do something like that. And here's a guy who's preached his whole life about the independence of the Fed. This is getting seriously screwed up in one man's mind, mine. I mean, let the Fed do what they're supposed to do. They're already favoring these banks so much, it's incredible. The good news is if you're selling a house, you get a chance to sell it now, probably. If you're buying a house, you know, if you're buying a house at less than 4%, it's good for you, but be careful about the person who has to buy it from you if the rates go up one of these days. Anyway, S&P futures now up 1950. They've been like that all night. NASDAQ futures up 69. A big opening this morning. It looks like we'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription. Or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom. She's Jay-Z on the board. We have Mr. Frank Fahey on the phone. Hopefully a good phone this time. S&P Futures up 19 and a quarter. Been there for since last night. We're up 1950 when I first looked. Then we were up 20 and now we're 1950. S&P Futures up 68. We got the Dow up 191. Like I said, every stock in the Dow that is open, which is about 28 of them, is to the upside here. The only thing I have
I don't really see anything in the board that's down, to be honest with you. Over the rest of the world, sort of the same way. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 128, 1.1%. FTSE up 43.6%. CAC around up 37.7%. This is all about China. Some number coming out saying they actually might have grown a little last quarter. Nikkei up 303, 1.4%. 21,509. Shanghai up 79, 2.6%. Hang Seng up 510, 1.6%. Remind you that the central banks of both places are pouring money into these places. I mean, you still want to be long, not short. No doubt about that, but you do have to wonder. But like I said, you got to be long today. Oil up 69 cents. $60.83. I've got the XLE up 40 cents, 47 cents, 66.59. Again, there's a disconnect between last time oil was almost $61. I'm going to say the XLE was over 70. So stocks in some of these areas are not leading, but they're still dragging a little bit. Brent up 103 to 68.61. That spread is now $7.80, which is on the low end. We've seen as much as 10.50. Natural gas up 2 cents to 68. Here's a big one. RBOB 189. So I was hard pressed to buy gas anywhere under $3 this weekend. That's not good when you have a big old Suburban. And we have gold is 1295 under 1300 again. As gold is down like a strong dollar. Silver is up down a nickel, $15.05. Izzy, what do you got for us, Traffic Weather Sports?
Thanks, Chief. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 6:36. Weather in Chicago today is mostly clear and sunny. High today 49, low of 28. Phoenix is mostly cloudy today with a high of 84 and a low of 59. In basketball over the weekend, the Bulls lost to the Raptors 124-101. The Suns also lost to the Grizzlies 120-115. In baseball, the White Sox beat the Royals 6-3. Cubs lost to the Rangers 11-10. And the Diamondbacks lost to the Dodgers 8-7. In NCAA men's, Auburn beat Kentucky 77-71, and Michigan State beat Duke 68-67. Finally, in hockey, the Blackhawks are off, and the Coyotes beat the Wild 4-0. Nothing to report in traffic. Back to you.
The two things here. One is, did you listen to Krzyzewski complaining about basketball this weekend and the NCAA's lack of vision, Frank?
Yes, I did. I didn't get it, though.
He basically claiming that when one and done is over, they need something else. Because if all these players start going to, developmental leagues, that the NCAA will suffer because of the quality of people. Well, here's a guy that's pretty much taken his entitled morals and thrown them nowhere in his speech that the NBA is run like a business, the NCAA needs a new plan. Never once in there did he even hint that these guys are supposed to be college people that just happen to play basketball. And we've gone so far beyond that, Frank. I mean, I don't know what planet we're on, but we're certainly not on that planet.
I mean, how much of these is he paying his kids? Nothing. How much is he making? You know, millions.
I'm going to say he's paying his kids something. Somebody is getting paid there. Just saying.
And I don't think Zion Williamson is as good as everybody says.
He has an amazing combination of size and speed you don't normally get.
But I remember LeBron at 18, and he's not LeBron.
He's as fast as LeBron, and he shoots better from the outside of LeBron at this age. I don't think he has the hands LeBron has.
I want to see him play with the big boys. We'll wait and see.
Well, that's what people say with everybody, right? He has some things that are pretty. He has a much quicker release than LeBron. I don't think he has his hands. I don't think he has the court awareness, but he's a great passer too. I mean, I there's not a whole lot to say bad about his game, Frank, for a guy who's played 1 year.
Right, but if he's that good, and you know, there were two other kids on that team that were like number two and number three freshmen in the country. Why'd they lose?
They almost lost the other two games. I think they had kind of...
Right.
I think they had trouble with him being out so long getting him back in because he got too many stars. Plus, the one kid didn't play, did he? The one really good guy didn't play. Anyway, just as when everybody thinks of how important they individually are, and how powerful they are. Did you see this thing published by, not that, you know, we should, I guess we should care about it, because it really was the dawn of human existence. 66 million years ago, this massive asteroid that slammed into the Earth, they think near Mexico. You talk about how many species died within minutes? Evidently, they found a mother load of fossils, if anybody reads this stuff, up in South Dakota or North Dakota. Because evidently there was an inland sea up there, Frank. And this thing slammed in, and what happened was it started to drain the inland sea in front of, on top of all these people. It was a mother load of exquisitely preserved animal and fish fossils in what is now North Dakota. The asteroid's impact in what is now Mexico is the most cataclysmic event ever known to befall Earth, eradicating 75% of the plant's animal and plant species, extinguishing the dinosaurs and paving the way for the rise of humans. So every species basically is some massive pit. Fish, animal, mammals, no, weren't mammals. Well, I guess there were a few mammals, and dinosaurs all kind of together. So just when you think how powerful you might be, you read something like this, and it says it left a tangled mess of freshwater fish, terrestrial vertebrates, trees, branches, logs, marine ammonites, and other marine creatures all in one big pot. How scary is that?
Very scary.
So?
Hey, it should happen almost instantaneously, so.
Yeah.
I'll just say a perfect act of contrition and move on.
Well, but these days, we know it's coming. It'll make it worse. Because what do you do about it? Put your head between your legs and kiss your ass goodbye like we used to do with the fallout things or nuclear bomb tests?
We'd have to say, our teacher had us say a decade of the rosary while we were doing it.
Oh, God. Did you, were you guys under the desk or were you on an interior wall?
We were under the desk. I had a nun. You could see a Studebaker plant, and she would tell us about how they made engines for airplanes in World War II, and this was a primary target for the Russians, and that we had to do this right because they definitely were bombing that plant.
And maybe missing them and hitting you guys.
You know, I think that's why I left parochial school in the third grade.
Yeah, I think you probably got booted. But they made us do the interior walls. They made us do the interior walls. I guess they figured that the glass wouldn't get you through two walls. Obviously, if it landed right on your head, you were sort of toast. All right, what's going on with this market, Frank? Is there any place to fade here? Can you still get long? And what's... I'm wondering if you can't still get along a little bit. I think you might be able to, actually, for just a brief time.
I keep on having some very smart chart readers saying that 90 or 29.35 in the S&P, 29.40s, the target, and they're holding it. But part of the problem is you get long at this 28.60 level, and the next thing you know, just like 3 days ago, you're at 28.93. Well, that's, you know, holding a position that's long, it's hard to do when you go down 2.5%.
Well, that's true. I like to talk about the things that I've seen in the market. And you know, you sort of, what's, if you don't learn from history, you learn to screw up or something. But history, this history is different, Frank. I've never seen an abusive administration onto the Federal Reserve like this. To cut rates when they're already ridiculously low. And when everything is, there is no federal funds rate. There's so much money in the system that nobody can possibly say that they're, I was talking to a few people this weekend and, you know, Republican types. I said, what makes you think the trickle down thing works when you have a 10-year period of free money darn near and your credit card rates are up? Yeah, well, you know, those people don't pay those rates, they should be that high. A lot of people pay their credit card rates, pay their credit cards. I mean, but the point is, why hasn't there anybody, why is the competitive model, Frank, in my opinion, totally falling? Why when you Google, I hate to even use the term, when you Google the credit card interest, why isn't somebody pop up and say, for people with 750 or greater scores, we'll be 9%, which is still pretty friggin' high, or 8%, or 7%. Nobody is breaking rank. This combination of concentration, money out there for the people who can get it, the rich people can get it, and not really for other people, except you can get it in mortgages. But all that really does is allow you to buy stuff from the people who put the building up, right? I mean, so it's your enablers. There's something happening here that I can't put my fingers around, but I don't like it. I mean, and yet if you're along the market, it's, you know, why do you need protection by anything? Obviously, we have a lot of people now that are asking me to provide some protection for them, and I think they're in the right spot. And I've stayed out of the way of the move up and participated most of it pretty darn good for somebody who is protected. But, you know, if we keep running up, I'll be chasing some calls, you know, and I guess that'll be fine, but it's, you know, but I mean, it's bizarre. I mean, are we gonna absolutely pour more money in this system and drive the market up another like 25%, like 2012? You know, Frank, that's where these guys are going. They want to drive asset prices up because only the right people have assets. Nobody cares about what people make, right? And nobody cares what people spend.
Right. They only care about the people who are in the market. And what percentage of American folk are really in the market?
Well, there's 401ks. So a lot are in there and there, right? But in terms of regular market participants, I'm going to say it's what? Actually, I could probably find the number before I just guess. But if you take 401ks, I think a real lot of people are in the market. Not 80%, but probably 35 or 40, which is a lot higher than it used to be. S&P futures now up 20, as the futures up 70. And we come back a little bit, Frank. Let's talk about this Jeff Bezos guy getting hacked, because I wonder if there's a connection between that and we were talking about from this Pegasus group. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello, everyone. Thanks, Jackson Jacks. I'm Tom. She's Jay-Z on the board. Mr. Frank Fay on the phone. SP Futures up 1850. NASDAQ Futures up 67 and a quarter. So we're hanging in there high. Frank, did you, I sent, this article to you and Kevin last night.
Yes, I read it.
Is it make you nervous or what? For those of you we're talking about, there's an article here on, is this a Bloomberg? What is this? Saudi's access Amazon CEO. This is by Spencer Kimball. Saudi's access Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos' phone and gained private data, security chief says. Evidently,
hey, Tom, now I can't hear you. I will call back.
How about now? Right, you good? No, you're calling back. All right. Anyway, the article says that he that the National Enquirer. They obtained, the bottom line is they're after Bezos because they got pictures of what? It was him and his girlfriend or something. God knows. I don't want to go there. But he essentially got his phone hacked. And you would say, well, God bless it. How does Jeff Bezos get his phone hacked? Well, it turns out now that the people are accusing the Saudis are being involved. I guess that's Frank. But the Saudis are involved and I don't know if people remember last week, they listen to the show every day, the piece on 60 Minutes, I think it was a week ago yesterday, might have been 2 weeks, regarding this outfit from Israel that has this essentially hacking software that they've been selling to governments, essentially to go find terrorists. But I never saw a more pompous ass in my life than this guy on TV. Brilliant man, obviously. But he and the lady who are the president, we're talking about how their board decides whether they should. Frank, I was talking about the 60 Minutes thing a couple weeks ago, where the Israeli firm that has this Pegasus software that essentially they can infiltrate anybody's phone. Anybody who's willing to open up any sort of a email or text or whatever, they can apply it to the. But they're selling it to governments, and they rate the governments because in their mind. It's for terrorists. Yet they sold it to the Saudis. Right? So Leslie Stahl kept asking the guy, what are you talking about? These people, you're going to let the Saudis decide whether somebody's a terrorist? Now, what if they just don't like the administration? It's like killing people. Oh, no, we keep a close eye on them. We monitor them, and we have a chance to, we can turn it off. We have the ability to turn it off if they disobey what we want them to do. It's only for, like, terrorists. Anyway, this was a fascinating piece on 60 Minutes. In my mind, because I mean, these guys essentially said, our group of 10 people decide whether this government is worthy of our stuff that can hack into people's things. Well, now here this week, or yesterday, I see this article that the Bezos had gotten hacked into essentially by the Saudis. And evidently, now me that likes to put two and two together once in a while and get something other than five, I'm wondering if it's this software, Frank. Because, I mean, I gotta believe Bezos has a pretty secure phone. And now, if it's his software, now it says here that he was blaming the National Enquirer by blackmailing him, all right? Because he threatened to publish these, mm-hmm. these photos. But now, also, the Washington Post, which he owns, has been very critical of Trump, has also been, obviously, because that Khashoggi guy worked for the Post, right? Has been probably the lead newspaper in railing on this guy who runs Saudi Arabia, who basically had the guy killed. So now the question is, are they using the software but that they buy from the Israelis, allegedly for terrorists because this company is watching them, is that being used to hack? I'm not a big fan of Bezos, but if this is happening from the Saudis because he's against somebody who chopped up a body and brought it out in bags, I got a real problem with it, Frank. And if our guys are letting it happen because he doesn't like Trump, anybody who thinks it's, stuff is not changing here, You better wake up. You just better wake up. I'm just saying.
Well, I want to go back to that interview to begin with. And people discount the interview. Certain sectors of the public discount it because it's 60 minutes and you can't believe 60 minutes.
Yeah, right. That was loose comment.
But that guy was a sociopathic liar.
Yep.
Not a psychopathic liar.
Yep.
It was amazing. He wouldn't even answer whether or not Russia had that software.
Well, I'd rather
talk about a national emergency. We have a president who uses his personal phone to make calls. Who else in the administration does that? This may be the source of all the what you and I consider front running of the market. They can listen to any phone call they want to.
The front running in the market now is so dramatic. I'd love to have the software that I could find just when this thing in China came out. Who the hell even are? Does this company came out with this thing that they're now growing, and when the market started to move beforehand?
I would have somebody listening 24 hours a day to the Mnuchin phone, and I have a laundry list. We know it's out there, and we know people are trading against it. You don't think the Saudi Arabians aren't trading against this?
Well, if they can hack in, why wouldn't they? And they've got, if you're watching CNBC, they got this Preet Bharara guy who I think is pretty straight. He's the guy Trump fired as the Southern District of New York Attorney General because he's prosecuted. And he'll tell you, if he was here, I'd love to have him on. But I would, I have trouble interviewing some people these days because I would say, I would ask him right to his face, I'm not going to say that the people you prosecuted weren't guilty of something. But why is it that just people that are in business, usually not Caucasian, usually from overseas, why is it that only those people you go after when virtually all sources right now of all front running is coming out of Congress and the White House? In my opinion, in the Fed. I mean, it's become and it's legal for them to do. How can you prosecute some poor stiff when you know the people in government, it's a law they can do it? Milton Friedman, one day somebody asked him a question, believe it or not, Frank, I remember the answer because I thought I might become a trader someday. They asked him, what about front running? He said, just let it happen. But now, when you say that, look at the world Milton Friedman lived in. The world was open outcry, individual trading, right? So obviously,
and information was not instantaneous.
Well, it was for some people, but the point being, if we had Sweet Jay-Z walked into the Chrysler pit three quarters in a row, 2 minutes before the earnings were out, and did some huge trade, miraculously was right. As sweet as she is. The fourth quarter, she might be met with a fist on her beak rather than somebody trading with her, right? I mean, people would learn I'm not into violence, especially against women, but I mean, people would learn to police it themselves when you know who the perpetrators are. You wouldn't trade with Goldman Sachs a second before anybody's earnings. Nobody would be that stupid, right? You would think.
You might not even trade with Morgan Stanley a day before.
Right. Well, they were worse, actually. But every once in a while, Drexler, wherever the fast money just kind of circulated, I thought that the bad guys were one place for a while, then they were another place for a while. But the point being is the economy. Now you can't police yourself when there's 17 exchanges and everybody's doing it electronically. You never know anybody is, right? So it can't be policed by itself. I would almost go back to somewhat of an open outcry, and instead of having a bunch of attorney generals chasing it down 5 years later, I let people police it themselves. I think it's way worse than it's ever been because you can't see who it is. Everybody knew who the ConAgra trader was on the Board of Trade floor. You didn't trade with the guy the second before the grain announcement. I mean, people learn to protect themselves, right? If you have a chance to. Just saying. But, all right, Frank, you only got you for 30 seconds. What do you think? Are we fading this, or are we just waiting and seeing, or are we buying in?
I'm waiting to see, but I wouldn't be afraid to buy in. I'd be wary once I'm in.
Yep, I would say you're correct. S&P futures up 20.25. NASDAQ futures up 70. We back Stocks and Jobs. We should have Stephanie Koenig when we come back.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. a longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. She is Miss Jay-Z, Jessica Zalewski on the board, doing a fine job on this beautiful to look at Monday morning with a little... A little chilly still. What do you think, Steph, for this time of the year or what?
Yeah, it's chilly. Can you turn me up a bit?
Yeah, we got to turn stuff up just a hair. S&P futures up 21.75. NASDAQ futures up 74. We're because of a lot of things. We've been coming off a big quarter. Market looks strong. I don't really see anything in the way here. We've got an accommodative Fed yet again, and we've got accommodative central banks around the world, and we have China looking like it's actually maybe stop sliding down. So that would be nice. The Chinese government has been pouring a lot of money into the place. Now, it's harder for them to do that because of a lot of the, shall we say, the off-balance sheet debt, right, Steph? I mean, they have a lot of what we consider to be, you know, I won't say the same thing, but like payday loan sort of places. And they also went overseas and borrowed a lot of money in dollar-denominated debt and euro-denominated debt. And I'm going to say yen-denominated debt. So they have a different type of debt system than we do. Was that a fair statement?
Yeah, they do, and managing that debt is a lot more challenging just because of the manner in which that debt has been acquired. Hasn't gone through most of their banking system, is my understanding, and that makes it a lot harder for them to manage it and to control the influx or the outflux of money in their country.
Steph, how when you say it's harder. Steph, by the way, knows a lot about how the Fed and stuff works here. When you say it's harder, how do you even do it? I mean, if a firm goes out and borrows $1 billion in dollars, now that shows up. I mean, getting the money in and out because the yuan really wasn't convertible easily for a long time. How does that transaction even work? Do you use the money then to buy stuff, I'll use the term factories of production, from overseas, and you bring the stuff in, or do you bring the dollars in and run them through the yuan, which I think would be, because then somebody would know where you got it, how do you suppose it even works?
I don't know. I think that's part of the problem is that it's not really transparent, and then, because it is a Chinese government, they have a lot of options that we wouldn't necessarily think of, I think, in this country. But I'm not sure that they're necessarily provide stability.
Well, I guess the question I'm trying to ask, and I don't know, because I think nobody knows what's going on in the Chinese government that much, I guess, but I think you have a hair better knowledge than me, is that do only they know? Do they have a way to counting it, or are they clueless too? Like I said, that you and I went and borrowed $100 billion in dollars and something, and how would they even?
The answer is I don't know, but my guess is that they are relatively clueless, with the exception of, in communist countries, they tend to have a relatively decent pulse on business, as they tend to be a bit more involved. So my guess is that they have some knowledge, being that they're probably closely tied to very large business owners who probably have a lot of this debt.
Well, I'm kind of curious. Let's think of something simple, because Boeing's in the news. China Airways, or one of the airways over there, wants to buy a 737 MAX. They want to buy a plane. Let's keep it simple. One topic at a time, Steph, which I'm not so good at. They want to buy one, so they're $128 million, right, roughly. Who the hell knows after discounts and whatever else you do to the thing. So they want to buy that thing. And now the Chinese government doesn't want them borrowing in yuan, so they come over and they say, okay, we'll do the math for you. And by the way, some of the money we get, since we fly from this place is in dollars, we'll just pay you back in dollars. So one day, China Air or whoever it is flying another 737 or whatever it is, 767. And, actually they're not making those anymore except for tankers. 777. All of a sudden they got a new plane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out how would the transaction, Jay-Z, you're taking accounting, feel free to follow through. How does this transaction actually work? As long as we pay whoever we got the lease from, General Electric or somebody, as long as we pay them the $10,000 a day or whatever the hell it is, they're happy in dollars. How does China even know that these guys have anything other than a new plane?
Oh, well, I think the answer is from my understanding of the way their monetary policy works, they don't. But I think if a company like that, which is relatively... it's not necessarily state-run, but is influenced by the state heavily.
Correct, right.
The idea to buy a plane first probably is run by them.
Okay, so you think it's
not a minimal purchase.
Okay, so you think that even though the transaction is a little strange, that there's knowledge of it, and somebody has a clue that these guys owe somebody in dollars $128 million. But how you regulate that from a monetary standpoint, I don't see how you do that.
I don't either. But because the Chinese federal system, or Chinese system, is a lot looser in terms of, I believe, the rules that they can adhere to or have to adhere to, there's probably a lot more options for them than we would traditionally think of in our economic system.
Well, it's funny to me, you know, it's not funny, ha-ha, but in people in this country, you know, I don't know, I'm talking head, shall we say, just leave it at that. It's hard for us to turn the bus around here, and we've got, what, you know, allegedly 300 million people. And if there's a recession, if there's, you know, business gets better or whatever it is, it doesn't happen on a Tuesday. I mean, because you're looking at it, or it may, just because somebody on TV won the lottery, he may think the world won the lottery, but really he's the only one who won the lottery, right, or he or she. So it's not changing for other people. It's stunning to me how we will have somebody who will make an insane comment like, oh, looks like China's growing again. They got a billion some people. Does anything turn on a weekly or monthly basis over there at all? I mean, how could it possibly?
I think the closest thing you can talk about from an economic perspective of turning on a dime is Trump's new suggestion that he's going to shut down the Mexican border, you know, just randomly. So, you know, that could turn our economy on a dime. But,
yep.
But in general, no, I think it. There are very few things that turn economics on a dime. It takes a while for things to impact. And I think, you know, we're starting to see some of the impacts of the tariff decisions and tariffs around the world. Everything's kind of starting to slow down. But, you know, how many months has that been, or years? Right? It's been, a year?
At least a year, yeah.
Yeah, so the fact that we expect things to react on a week-by-week basis, I think, is unreasonable.
Well, Steph, if you were to run around tonight, which I know you're not going to, from, shall we say, saloon to library to coffee shop, I'm sure you would run into a bunch of people that screw those people from the South. They're all crooks. They're all murderers. And if somebody has to take an economic hit by closing the border, it won't be me, so I don't care. And it's whatever it is, it's worth it. You're going to get that attitude from among a lot of people. Because really, it's not all that obvious sitting in a Chicago bar, coffee shop, restaurant, library, school, what exactly how your life depends on trade on the Canadian border or the Euro border or the Chinese border, you know, because everything you buy is from Chinese. But it's not all that obvious how your life benefits or would change if unless you want to look. You can easily close your mind to it and say, I don't care. The fact is that Trump hates these people, so do I. That kind of thing. I mean, you can easily jump in there.
A good example about how, you know, you go to the grocery store and you want to buy fruit and vegetables. A lot of that comes from Mexico. Strawberries, lots of fruits and vegetables come from there. So if you think you won't be affected, well, A, they may not be available, or B, if they are available, they'll be twice as expensive. You know, that's one very tangible example, especially here in Chicago.
But a lot of people are willing to take that hit. So my lettuce is double. So what? I don't have to worry about getting murdered by
somebody. Car fixed, and the part either they can't get, or the part and labor now cost you three times, and you can't afford it. So you can't afford to fix your car, which means then you can't afford to get to work, which means then. I mean, these things do affect you. It's just,
well, they do.
May not be bluntly obvious.
Well,
so it happens to you.
I mean, you know, when this first happened with China, my brother and I, we both played ball with a guy who's in a car window business, repairing windows, has been forever. They get some of the windows from China, not all. And the minute China, the tariff went up on the Chinese car windows, everybody raised their price like 20%, like the same day. So, I mean, some people are willing to take that hit. But without, you know, bashing much, I will say this, and you and I have talked about it, you know, over coffee a few times, and it, on one hand, I don't think the man is, and he reminds me of the, was Shakespeare, or I think it was, I don't know who wrote The Dogs of War. I think it was Frederick Forsyth, but I'm not sure. Probably, maybe it wasn't. You know, cry havoc and let loose the dogs of war. I mean, you stir all this up without any sort of obvious solution. It's, you know, and some of it's not maybe going to land well. I hope it does. But, Steph, how would you, if somebody plunked you as the first lady in the Oval Office, how would you deal with a situation where somebody comes in, and not somebody, but if a few people come in and you guys, you know, have coffee in the Situation Room and you say, what's the status of all our aid to Central America, to Mexico, and what's the status of NAFTA? And people there, and you know, come on back next week, and I just want some kind of, not just a report, I want your gut feel. You know, I trust you people. I mean, that's why I got you in this job. Well, come back, tell me how it's going. Who's getting the money? Are things any better? Are people any freer? Is there any chance of a middle class down there? Is there any of this stuff? Where's our dough going? Now, I'm going to say that I probably, to be honest, feel as bad about where our money has been going all these years as Trump does. Maybe worse. But he's doing it in a different way than I would. But I don't think there's any question that our aid is going to a lot of the wrong people, that people still can't wait to get out of there and come up here, which I understand. But are we doing any good, or are we just giving money to the dude to make it even worse? I mean, his instincts are not wrong, Steph, I don't think.
No, I mean, I think, you know, there's a good question out there about, and this is one of the things that I think when Trump got elected, people thought he would actually take a serious look at, which is, you know, they thought he would go look at some of our foreign policies, where we're spending money, and make an informed decision, not just a decision based on previous policy, on, you know, whether we should investigate doing things a different way. And unfortunately, I mean, he had an incredibly unique and still does have a unique opportunity to do a lot of that. But his methodology is less about being informed and more about just blowing up and then letting everyone else deal with the consequences. So, you know, whether there's a border crisis or not, obviously a lot of people debate, but there definitely is a humanitarian crisis from South America, and it's not from all countries. So, you know, we've put a lot of money into Colombia because of a drug war and that sort of stuff, and Colombia is a lot more stable than it used to be, and frankly, you know, economically, it's a lot more self-sustaining than it used to be. But that's obviously not the case with all South American countries that we've, you know, provided money to. So, you know, one of the things that if I were in the Oval Office, I would bring some people in who clearly understand the cultural challenges down there, the economic challenges, and frankly, the government structure, because it's not just like here, to understand whether we're making improvements or whether we're making things worse. And, you know, the solution to just cut off money to Guatemala and other countries where people are coming into us is only going to exacerbate the problem at our border, because, you know, I don't know how those governments are spending that money, and I think that may be part of the question, but having humanitarian problem and increasing that humanitarian problem is not going to keep people from coming up to our border to try and come to this country.
Let me follow that, Steph, and I'm going to throw one at you that I happen to sort of know about. I have a friend, and I won't say it was a he or a she, but she is. She has kind of a system of there's a branch of mathematics where mathematics doesn't necessarily, you know, come out with an answer of 4.2 or 4.25. Where it's used to, and I'm not very good at it, by the way, where it's used to organize stuff and keep, and basically, you use it to store stuff. It's more like the mathematics computers use, where it's used to store things, right? Rather than actually do calculations. Anyway, she has a system like this, and some people in the UN get wind of it. And now the UN is all over. There's a system they're trying to put in. Of course, God knows how many years it's going to take, you know, because I don't even think they're doing it anymore with this group, so I could talk about it. They essentially have a technology now where they can X-ray. Talk about how old is that stuff? X-ray. Take a shot of a container and know everything that's in a container, not just that it's round and it's rubber. They know it's a basketball type of thing. Mm-hmm. And so the trick is in all these countries around the world that ship containers all over the place, you would essentially have a UN piece of property there. Because the UN would want to control it, where there would be a spot where the containers would come out, somebody takes a shot. Again, I'll use the old guy term, X-rays. And when it gets to New Orleans, when it gets to Long Beach, wherever it is, you take the same shot there, and if the two shots don't match, you reject the container. You say there's something in there that either something left along the way or something got in along the way. You guys figure it out before we accept it, type of thing. Mm-hmm. So. They're moving forward in this process, and there's interviews and blah, 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 blah. And it ends up being that they set this thing up for the first country or two in Africa. And I think it all went down to the toilet. But the deal was, when somebody shows up with the container, you know, that person pays for, you know, whatever, the shot, for lack of a better term, and to get into the system. Now, say it's $50 a truck. I'm sure it was more than that, but say it's $50 a truck. Say $100 a truck. That there already was a payment mechanism to where the UN got some for schools, because the property that the UN was going to annex for this would allow for like a school and a hospital. Okay, maybe a couple of soccer fields and so forth. So some of the money was going to go to the UN for building this stuff, essentially getting a foothold there with some humanitarian capability. But there also was a bank account, I won't say Swiss, set up to give the dictator his 5 cents or 8 cents, mm-hmm. or whatever the hell it was. Now, my question is, Steph, how do you ever, in order to do business, in order to get world economic flow, you have to deal with what you're dealing with. I get that part. But how do you ever expect these places to throw these morons that are brutal out if you essentially give them money that nobody else has got over there? I mean, I don't know how you can be on one side or the other there. You can't starve the place. You can't have every place in where people have guns fighting people without guns, murdering, you know, a million people a year like some of those wars have been. You can't have that. But then you also can't have, you know, Papa Doc with a bank account in Switzerland that you're feeding either. I mean, I honestly don't know the solution. But I mean, I know that with the way Trump's going about it, it appears to me sort of the wrong way, but I don't know. You know, maybe it is the only thing these guys understand. I mean,
why is it every dictator that you put into certain countries, not all countries, but certain countries, ends up becoming wealthy, and no matter what they go and start saying, right? So they start out saying they're going to help the people, and maybe they do. You know, and when they start helping the people, then they get into office and suddenly they're worth millions and other people are starving. So what is it that changes and that allows them to change from where they were to where they are? Is it the system? Is it the policies we have? Is it cultural? I mean, I don't know. But somebody who spends a lot more time looking at this than I do clearly has to have... There have to be several theories out there that I could investigate, could look into, and could try and come up with a solution before I blow everything up and just make it a world economic, you know, issue,
right,
or just a humanitarian crisis.
So you're not a subscriber to the theory that God helps the man who helps himself?
No, I definitely think God helps a man who helps himself. But helping yourself, I think when you are the United States and you have as much power and as much money as we do, is not just about causing every other country uncivil or economic unrest. You know, I don't think that's responsible. I think, you know, responsibility is coming in informed, having, you know, educated discussions and working through something. I'm not saying necessarily with the dictator who's technically, as you put it, the problem, but having discussions with people who are very well informed on how that system works.
Well, I was on the board with a fellow, and he's still a friend, And he was, one day we were, you know, over a couple of cocktails on a CBOE road trip, we started talking about some of the foreign policy, and he said, you know, Americans are, in some ways, are so dumb in the sense that how other people should act, because you always have to look at your framework and how you got to where you are before you expect other people to act the same way. He said, when you start talking about, you know, having elections in Afghanistan or some damn place, I'm not saying Afghanistan's a bleep hole or anything like that, but he said, the idea of how many years, really, since the Magna Carta, it has been in British, basically British-European tradition, and the rest of Europe didn't come along till later, the idea that when somebody has an election and loses, basically packs up and leaves, and that his party or the other parties sit there and essentially, the rest of the world has no concept about somebody being voted out of office and actually getting up and leaving. And you also, they also have no concept of, okay, for the next 4 years, we're going to figure out what we did wrong, and we're going to come back, and but in the meantime, we're going to be the, quote, loyal opposition. Because people have no idea what that means in all these other places. I mean, maybe
of course,
over time...
they were killed if they opposed the person who was put in office.
Now, I honestly think we're losing some of that here, where the opposition is not the loyal opposition, to where you still get stuff done. Something's crazy here. Cause I think it has to do, Steph, really with the money, that the companies that are involved with the government now, the money is so big that you just have to be involved. I look at...
I think it's a special interest. I mean, nobody knows where all these ads come from. Nobody knows where the information comes from. You know, I hate to say it, I'm a big fan of the Supreme Court in general, but I think they're ruling on the fact that you can put unlimited money into these special PACs with very little transparency. It's just absolutely destroyed our voting system.
Your significant other is a lawyer. I know you've learned a lot from him, and you're pretty bright on your own. What do you make of when you apply the Constitution in 1917 something something, with some pretty smart guys that were not perfect, they recognized it, putting that piece of paper together? How do you apply essentially a corporation? How does the Supreme Court apply a corporation which essentially never dies? It does have the, well, some do if they're out of business, but it has the wherewithal really to pay off all 530, not pay off to where they do everything you want them to do, but contribute, I'll use it for a better term, all 535 people in Congress. That Constitution, in my opinion, again, one man's opinion, never anticipated anything like that. So how does the Supreme Court, other than on one side or the other, how do they even opine on that? The other stuff, you can read it, you know, and it gives you an idea of what people meant, and you got the Bill of Rights. You can get some sort of a history about, you know, what the Constitution, what they would have said. You know, obviously the left and the right feel differently about some of this stuff. But how do you have any idea? I mean, you can't tell me that James Madison and Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin ever even had a clue that some guy in South Carolina was going to have the money and the transportation ability to mess with a representative election in New Hampshire. I can't conceive that they conceived of that.
No, I mean, I don't think that they conceived of it in the way it happens today, that person doesn't need to leave their state and they could just go online and tweet something or say something, you know, whether it be true or untrue, to disrupt that election, you know, and not have to go down there. But, you know, back in their day, there were people that would show up from other states and go down and, you know, do dirty deeds and pass out money and a whole bunch of other things, but we forget that a lot of the concepts used today were used back in the past, just not to the same immediacy that we see today. Right?
But I think, Steph, the difference is that they felt that the amount of people there, you and I, even if we became the one-headed monster and we tried to pay everybody off in 1890, we'd run out of gas and we'd die before we got to 535 people.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of impact we can have is is minimal as one person.
Right.
But you can put coalitions together. But your point still stands. I mean, I'm disappointed to see the Supreme Court becoming more and more politicized, and a lot of it is because Trump has called on them to do a bunch of things. I mean, he's called out all of the branches of
government.
All right,
Steph, we got to get a break.
Who was supposed to be independent, he has tried to, if not influenced. And the Supreme Court, some of the cases that they have been taking, especially in the last couple weeks, really is starting, I think, to ruin their the way people perceive them as an independent body. And back to the case where they decided that, yeah, that things could be corporations and they could donate unlimited amounts of money, I don't understand how in a democracy or republic, which is what we really have, you are looking at organizations to have more power than an individual, which is what the Supreme Court technically ended up doing.
Oh, all right.
And, you know, in the republic, the individual is supposed to have the power, and the power of the individual combined is what gives the power to the government. And this reversed that whole concept.
I think we're way past that stuff. Hey, thank you, everybody. You sound great on the phone. Even though I'd rather have you in here, but you sound great on the phone. Talk to you soon. Thank you very much. We come back with Mr. David Andelman. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Al. She's Jay-Z on the board. I'm Mr. David Adelman. A second, S&P futures up 1925, which were right where they were last night when I looked at them. They've been up and down a couple of points, but basically stuck right there. Nasdaq futures up 68. Dow futures up 201 now. Over in Asia, over in Europe, we'll do Europe first. Bullish there as well. DAX up 114. That's 1%. FTSE up 45.6% as they're still fighting the Brexit thing this week. This week should be interesting on the Brexit. Not that the last few weeks have not been. CAC around up 37.7. I think they end up with a cold Brexit, which I actually have been hoping for because that would kind of stuff the people in Brussels, which I think sort of need to get stuffed. But that's just one man's opinion. Nikkei up 303, 21,509. That's 1.4%. Shanghai up 79, 2.6%, 3170. Hang Seng up 510. It's 1.7. I'm going to say that Shanghai is up 25-30% this year. David probably know better than me. But big rallies over there. I mean, they came in this morning and said that by one estimation that they might actually be growing again after several months of not growing on their manufacturing side. You know, we'll see. I would love to have that piece of paper before it came out. Oil up 71 cents, 60.85. Burn up a whole dollar, 68.58. RBOB gas, pretty much flat at 189, but it's still a lot higher than it was a few months ago. And anybody who's trying to buy gas, we gotta be up, you know, pushing 75, 80 cents in the last 8-10 weeks. Gold down at $1.30, $12.97. Gold's not gonna go anywhere with the dollar being strong and everything else. Silver down 2 cents, $15.09. Everybody's pouring money in the system, but gold can't get out of its own way. Very, very strange. Historically, maybe not so strange recently. Jay-Z, what do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
Thanks, Chief. Morning, everyone. The time is now 7:36. Weather in Chicago today is clear and sunny. High today is 49, low of 28. Phoenix is mostly cloudy today with a high of 84, low of 59. In basketball over the weekend, the Bulls lost to the Raptors, 124-101. Suns lost to the Grizzlies, 120-115. In baseball, the White Sox beat the Royals 6-3. Cubs lost to the Rangers, 11-10. And the Diamondbacks lost to the Dodgers, 8-7. In NCAA men's, Auburn beat Kentucky 77-71, and Michigan State beat Duke 68-67. Finally, in hockey, the Blackhawks were off, and the Coyotes beat the Wild 4-0. No accidents to report. Back to you.
Kentucky down, Duke down, Lou sniveling. I'm thinking, Mr. Duke, the man. He was all happy last week when they won on the two blown calls. That's the way it should be. Duke should always win. Well, I'm sure he doesn't feel so well today. We'll talk to him about it on Thursday. Hopefully he'll be out of it by then. David, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm neither bullish nor bearish on gold, but I know you're always watching. And it is down today, actually, with the dollar down, and at least in the overnight. And it's forming the right shoulder of what looks to be a nasty head and shoulders top. And the June is now the top step front month contract. And 1287.5 is key. If that doesn't hold, you're looking at a target between 1210 and 1220.
Where am I either early or wrong on this, David? Is the more currency? I mean, when you look at values, I mean, we get the idea, especially here in Chicago in the Midwest, that everything is our value and we value our stuff on everything else, but that's not the way the world works. I mean, when you say gold is going up or down, it's in relation to the dollar going up or down. And you would think, David, historically, that when people, quote, went off the gold standard and poured money into the system, be it dollars, be it yen, be it whatever, anything that's fixed, which is pretty fixed, you can't mine that much more gold tomorrow, stuff that has value, stuff like gold, stuff like property, stuff like old baseball cards, I mean, you name it, stuff that can't essentially expand as fast as the monetary supply is, would essentially gain in value basis vis-a-vis the currency, because the currency is being inflated. Why do you suppose that it's not happening this time, at least not yet?
I don't know the answer, but, I mean, beyond supply, which you've, you know, very adroitly described, there is such a thing as demand. And, you know, I think that for whatever reasons, you know, that foreign foreign governments liquidated a lot, and so beyond what is mined, there's stuff available on the market. And I mean, this is anecdotal. I don't have any strong evidence of that, but I think in Japan, maybe China, India for sure, and even domestically, I think the demand for gold, you know, whether as a storage of value or in jewelry. And I think the jewelers, I mean, if you watch Signet Jewelers and Tiffany and the like, and that's not necessarily a measure of gold. They sell diamonds, they sell silver, they sell everything else. But, you know, they're no ball of fire.
No. No,
so I do think that there. I think there's still a demand as far as, you know, haven and storage and not trusting paper currencies everywhere. But I think for the actual hard goods, I think demand's way down.
Well, but I mean, a lot of the, and this to me is unfortunately a little bit of what I see in the stock market too, David, that the demand of, this is not a shot at current investors, because obviously David and I have, a lot of us are clients, and most of them are pretty darn nice people, and we're great to have them, but the demand can be seeming is like fickle these days, David.
Oh, it's brutal, and that's why I really use charts, because, you know, the fundamentals tell you the vast majority of fundamental information has to do with supply. And it's, you know, I mean, even just back to the ag days with, you know, cattle on feed or pig crop report or any of this stuff, you always had a really good handle on what supply is. But you couldn't go to every counter, you know, at Walmart or Target or whatever and say, how much bacon has been bought this week?
Right.
You couldn't get a picture, really, of the demand side. And so that's what the chart gave you, because it, you know, balanced supply and demand, and you could see it.
Well, I mean, a lot of the listeners have been able to figure out some of the quirks in my personality, but one of them is that, as I love older trucks, right? And, I, you know, especially the four-wheel drive kind, the old Bronco Billies, the little guys, and so forth. And I can give you pretty much chapter and verse on the strengths and weaknesses and all these models, you know, during the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. And I'm going to say, David, that nobody gave a rat's behind about international scouts when they were making them. They were absolute rust buckets. They had a horrible motor. they were, international made the worst vehicles anywhere. And now all of a sudden somebody has decided that international scouts are, you know, in the, at least in the middle to the top of this pecking order of older SUVs. And they're, the prices are running up because they're going up. And there's, what is the demand for a piece of crap 1975 Scout that you didn't want in 1975? I mean, obviously if it's all tricked out, I mean, it's all put back together. It's a period piece, and I wouldn't mind having one. But I mean, all of a sudden I get this feeling that all it's going to take is two or three people to say they want to get long some gold. And if the price runs up to 14, it will run up to 15 or 16, because that's the way, unfortunately, some of the people in the investment world operate right now. It has no demand because it's not going up. But the minute it's going up, it doesn't matter if it's Zimbabwean turtle eggs. People run after it, right?
I mean, no, that I agree with. And you know, so much of, especially, you know, metals markets, crude oil, soft goods, et cetera, and now even stocks, are momentum plays. And I mean, you know, everybody, you know, now believes they can take a pencil and a ruler and become a chartist, and oh, there's a breakout, and oh, there's a head and shoulders, and oh, there's a double bottom, and so it's going up, buy it, or vice versa, it's going down, sell it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If a stock is, I mean, I get the feed from, you know, John and those guys. So I've been doing some momentum plays for some of my people. And we've actually been doing okay with them. I'm a little more conservative. And then I wait till there's call buying or put buying or something for a couple of days in a row where I feel people are serious. And then maybe I'll pile in with a, you know, something small. But the, but I mean, it is, I mean, if you tell somebody, you know, JZZ stock is up 4 days in a row, there's 15 people who want to buy it. They don't even care what JZZ stock is.
Right. No, I get it.
And, but I'm saying, I get But you look at some of the things people. I mean, why did baseball cards become, popular? Because they were going up, right? And all people had to do is read 10 stories or one story that everybody picked up. The other 9 guys picked up on. Man, do you have any idea if you had a baseball card? How many people immediately went that week up in their attic and started tearing the place apart looking for baseball cards?
Hey, that's a sore subject with me because I can remember when I was in college and my mom called me up and said, hey, there's a piece of luggage where you've stored all these Mickey Mantle cards and Henry Aaron and whatever. What do you think I should do with them? I said, I don't need them anymore. Throw them out.
Really?
I'm not kidding around. It would be today worth over $1 million.
But okay, let me ask you this. For somebody who...
Honestly.
Let me ask a very simple question. If you had them... just in a suitcase, not like air off them and wrapped and those kinds
no,
of things.
No, no, they were in a suitcase. And, yeah, they wouldn't have been in, extra fine condition.
How much, I guess what I'm going to, I don't know that much about it other than that some, how much is the difference between, Mickey Mantle preserved versus, say on a scale of 1 to 5, a 4 versus a 3 versus a 2, or one that's all dog-eared and I sat on it? I mean, what is the difference in price?
It's huge. I mean, they go up to 10, and there's very, very few 10s, virtually like an uncirculated coin.
Okay.
And so, here or there, somebody was wise and actually did preserve it in virtually uncirculated, but then it's the borders, it's the centering, it's everything. So there's almost no 10s, but there are some 9s. The difference between 9 and say a 6 or a 7 on a Mickey Mantle card, probably, 51 or 52 rookie or whatever, it could be $100,000.
Okay.
And so, yeah, but I had thousands of them. Yeah, none of them were 10s or 9s, but there probably were some 7s, so it's heartbreaking.
Well, if you didn't mess with it and had a big stack and put a rubber band around it and put it in a drawer, and it's now 50 years later, what is the degradation on those things? What was the reason why I asked? Is
I don't know that. I don't know the answer.
We had a guy. somebody showed up. He wasn't even in town for a seminar or something. Could have been one of the most disgusting guys I've ever come across. And of course, I went out to dinner with him because he was be a future client. Guy looked just like Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, God.
And he comes in, it's a no smoking building. He immediately lights up a cigarette in our office. And I'm like,
oh, God.
And Audrey comes off the trading floor in her trading jacket. He goes, hey, girl, how about grabbing me some coffee or something?
Oh,
that didn't go over real well, as you can imagine.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So
knowing Audrey, I'm sure she didn't take too well.
No. And, especially after a rough day at the Walmart crowd slugging it out with people. So anyway, I go to dinner with the guy. So we go to talk about a goofy story. We went to what's the big steak place?
Gibson's.
So he walks up, and of course there's not a lot of pretty long line. So he walks up, and she goes, name. He hands her $20. He goes, my name is Next.
Anyway. Well, as obnoxious as that is, he probably would have been a pretty good client.
Well, but you know what? The guy was into, of course, David, nobody else would want to go near the guy, and the rest of the people here at PTI. And I said, no, I'll go out dinner with the guy. What the hell? He's pretty. Well, it turns out he was a guy that came from Vegas that was an expert and had a big warehouse and a old, shall we say, paper of every kind. He could tell you exactly what a handwritten letter from like George Pullman to Henry Ford would be worth.
Wow.
And
I know a few people like that.
But he ran this big, I'm sure the guy's got to be dead by now, but he, a lot of it has to do, the reason why I asked you about the degradation, is all these White House letters. In those days, if a guy was to become a colonel in the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln had to write the letter saying, David Antelman, you're now not a captain anymore, you're a colonel, whatever the hell that, I don't know what the wordage would be. But that the White House paper was always rag paper, so there was virtually no degradation. Because a lot of the degradation has to do with the paper.
Yeah, quality, consistency, and whatever is really. I had a really, really good friend from high school. He's moved to Florida, but I went to his house many times, and, I mean, he had original Kennedy letters and whatever, and, I mean, he had them, I mean, he had them not just framed and covered with glass and whatever. He had those sealed,
yeah.
You know, so that literally no air. And I mean, he would redo the sealing on them like every year.
Well, I think if
you're doing it as collectibles and want to cash in someday, that's how you do it.
I wonder if they still send out all those letters. Well, they probably do. But I mean, I didn't realize that every colonel was essentially promoted from the White House.
I didn't know that either.
But the amount of letters sent on a daily basis by Abraham Lincoln was dramatic, and some of them are, a letter from like Lincoln to Grant that was a real letter, is worth But a lot of it has some of that. That's where the question came from, that if I just had a baseball card for 45 years. Semi-protected in its own drawer, where you didn't have stuff sitting all over it. What does it look like, as opposed to being in somebody's pocket?
That's why there's these grading agencies and the like. And I mean, yeah, I've walked into stores and here's, a 50-year-old Henry Aaron Carter, whatever, for $20. Well, yeah, but you know what? It looks like $20. That same card, if it was a 7 or 8, that same exact card might be, $3,000, $4,000.
Okay. All right, David, back to the market.
That is a reflection. And some of that is quality and grading, but a lot of it reflects back to gold, which was the original conversation. Yeah. I mean, art is pretty much the same way. If you have a real inflationary psychology, beyond the dollar, it's not just weakness in the dollar, and it's not even supply and demand. But I mean, if you have an inflationary environment, baseball cards, gold, diamonds, whatever, tend to rally in that environment. If it's stagnant, or just, I mean, you and I believe that inflation's much higher than what they're telling us, but the numbers that we have to deal with say no. So let's just presume that we're wrong and the numbers are right. We don't think so, but let's just say they are. In that environment, gold's going to go down, diamonds are going to be soft, trading cards are going to be soft, art's going to be soft. It's a lot of it is psychology.
Well, it is, but the idea is, it always happens the same way, David, is when you have an inflationary thing, it hits some things first.
Right.
It's going to hit assets. It's going to hit whatever's hot. It hit oil back in the 70s because the OPEC was just getting some power, and people thought all the price increases were because of OPEC. They couldn't have done it without the money flowing into the system. It's just that was a hot-button issue. And that's my biggest complaint about inflation and why these people today do not understand that we can't go down this road again because it's incredibly uneven. Some firms get to raise all their prices. I mean, right now, I think the amount of property increases. If you look at the people who can get the loans and what they're paying for somebody's properties and have to turn around the leases, I think people are lease poor. Everywhere, and in a lot of businesses. I mean, look at the people we're seeing across the street here. How long has that CVS been in 175 West Jackson? They're out.
Right.
Who do you replace that with? I got to believe CVS plays pretty top dollar, because they got obviously a going concern, and you got how many prescriptions come out of there. All of a sudden, they're just out.
Right. No, I get it.
This has beat up on people. And, some people, if you happen to be in an industry to where, your pricing power, say you're in a security industry somewhere, not securities, but security industry, that for a while, the place I'm not going to say the name, where Maddie Weber works, the world was their oyster. Everybody needed online security for credit cards, blah, 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 blah. Now, I don't know what has happened because now that's become somewhat commoditized.
Well, and I really think the just demographic mix and where the demand's coming from has changed so much. I mean, anymore, if you don't kind of appeal to millennials and next gen where the demand's coming from, you're not going to make it. I mean, there's a little apparel shop, mostly women, but men too. It's called East Street. And, there's one in Highland Park, and there's three or four all over the place, Rosemont and the like. And a huge one in Kenosha, not in Kenosha, Lake Geneva, that you can't even get in. The one in Highland Park was there for like 30 years, and I mean, big, huge margins. I mean, you know, jeans, 200, 250, whatever, and people buying them. But the community got older. The younger families don't seem to be moving in, some problems with the educational system. So you don't have the next gen and millennials demanding. And I mean, that place was mobbed, not all of a sudden closed.
Yep.
It's closed. And in the same time it's closing, the one in Lake Geneva, you can't get in.
Well, I tell you what, David, right now, I mean, I know a lot of people in the, you know, restaurant bar business. If you don't own your own building,
you're absolutely screwed.
So having said all that, we just have this quarter everybody's crazed about. We're going straight up. Obviously, looks strong in the day. What I think, David, we don't know, and I hope really I'm wrong on this one. I think that there's been enough economic damage to China over this stuff, and maybe a little bit here, too. I don't know. It's hard to conceptualize it. Even if all of a sudden they claim, both sides claim victory on this thing, say 2 months from now, I don't know that that we come out undamaged, especially China.
No, and I think there's been so much enthusiasm built into it, and just questions about verification and what do we really have and this and that and the other. China really, really going to change their modus operandi of doing business and slowly but surely proceeding towards some form of mix between capitalism and communism. You know, I mean, there's going to be a lot. I think it will be a silver fact. But yet, on the technicals, at least for now, until you see a close on the cash S&P below 2,800 on a weekly basis, because it's fooled around, you know, 2,785 and 2,790, whatever, on a daily basis. But until you see a close below 2,800, you can't sell the market.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about
it. You can't.
I'm just worried.
It just makes you pay.
Yeah, I would agree. I just have to be even more aggressive at getting the covered calls that I sold up and out of the way. I mean, what do you make of the difference between the move in the Qs versus the Russell? The Russell is really dragging compared to the other stuff.
Yeah, but it was stronger earlier in the year.
Okay.
Yeah. No, those portfolio rotations and whatever, it just they're so quick and so fast. I don't think you can take a week or even a month. You have to back off and look at a quarter.
Any comment regarding you don't have much time, like the GDX, even with gold down a little bit, is not as high as it was last time gold was here, especially the XLE.
Disappointing. And I mean, in full disclosure, I own a little bit as a hedge for portfolios, but yeah, it's disappointing. And, you know, even merger activities in that area, you know, was purportedly with Newmont Mining and the like, American Barrick, I'm very surprised.
What's a last quick question? What about this XLE? Is there anything, if oil's $400 a barrel, is anything get this Schlumberger off its dead ass?
I don't know the
answer. It's still half of what it was a year ago.
Yeah, it's crazy. But crude oil, I was going to mention, that is the area to focus. $60 up from $45 is one thing. If the next stop is 80, which I don't think it is, I think it'll be between 45 and 65, but if, let's just say for sake of argument, it goes through 65, to me all bets are off, and that's when you will see gold go to 1400.
Okay, so you think they're tight. I think you're probably right about that. S&P futures up 1975, NASDAQ futures up 6650, Dow's still right up about 200. I don't have any stocks in the Dow that are trading down this morning. I don't have any stocks in the transportation average down this morning. So far, we're about as green as we can get. We'll see if we hang in there. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Thank you, David. Thank you,
okay.
Jay-Z. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.